Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. God's word is life-changing. God's word is indeed life-transforming. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the word of God is able to transform our lives as it renews our minds. Hallelujah. That shows you that the mind plays a critical role in the transformation of our lives. The mind. Because what we put in our minds regularly is what we act out, is what we think about regularly, and that forms our actions. That forms how we respond to life situations. That forms our ideas, our values. That forms our pursuits in life. Glory to Jesus. So we are to renew our minds with the truth of the word of God regularly. And that is what is happening on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 59. Glory to God. I want to encourage you to stay with the word of God. I want to encourage you to not be distracted by life situations, circumstances, to not be distracted by the happenings in the world. Hallelujah. To not be distracted by, you know, how life bombards you with all manner of things. Glory to Jesus. I want to encourage you to stay with the word of God, because this is the only thing that guarantees your sanity in this world. The world is ever changing. God's word is never changing. Hallelujah. The only thing that guarantees stability and sanity of mind is the word of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You see, when the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, staying with the word of God is staying with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ does not mean you automatically, the day you receive Jesus into your life, the day you believe in the gospel and you are saved, it doesn't mean you automatically develop the mind of Christ. It's not speaking about our natural minds. It doesn't mean if we look into you the day you met Jesus, that your natural mind is automatically the mind of Christ. If that were to be the case, then there will be no need admonishing us to renew our minds. The mind of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, speaks of the revelation of Christ made available to us in the scriptures. Hallelujah. That word mind in the Greek is another word that means understanding. So another word for mind is understanding. We have the revelation, the understanding of Christ made available to us in the scriptures. Look at this in context before we go into our teaching for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, glory to God. I'll read from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see that up until verse 15, the writer, which is Paul, was discussing the revelation of Christ made available to us. The mind of Christ is that which God has revealed to us through his Spirit. Verse 10. Hallelujah. That's the same thing referred to as the deep things of God. That's the same thing Bible refers to as things freely given to us by God. Verse 12. That's the same thing Bible says, we teach not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 13. That's the same thing Bible refers to as the things natural men cannot receive, the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 14. So that tells you that the mind of Christ is that which we are to receive. It is not something that automatically jumps into us because we are saved. It is something we constantly receive by way of instruction from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Such that if we automatically receive the mind of Christ the day we believe the gospel, our natural mind suddenly become the mind of Christ, there will be no need for Bible study. Hallelujah. There will be no need for Bible study. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that which is inspired of the Holy Ghost is profitable for teaching, for doctrine. Because the mind of Christ, as we have it at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is something that we receive via instruction. That which we receive via teaching. Glory to Jesus. That's why verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2 says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That which is the mind of God is taught. Hallelujah. It is taught. It is received via teaching. So you have the mind of Christ as you receive the knowledge of God's word via teaching. Glory to Jesus. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, the same Paul writing to the Philippians says, let the mind of Christ be in you. If it was already in you, why is this instruction necessary? So like I said, this mind of Christ is developed, is received as we receive biblical instructions, Bible teaching, you know, instructions in the word of God. Glory to God. As we receive the revelation of what Christ has done for you and I. So stay with the word of God. And by so doing, you'll be staying with the mind of God. Hallelujah. You'll be staying with sanity. Glory to Jesus. Bible says he's able to keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. God is able to keep you in perfect peace. It doesn't matter how much life is throwing at you. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter, you know, the seasons you are in. The truth of the matter is God is able to keep you in perfect peace if you stay your mind on him by staying your mind on his word. God's word and God are the same. Hallelujah. God's word, God and his word are the same. They are one and the same. They are not opposites. That's why Jesus is called the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus is called the word of God. So staying with the word is staying with Christ. Glory to Jesus. Now, we've been teaching on what salvation is not. And then I'll just make progress again today. What salvation is not. We've seen how salvation is not refraining from sin. And we've seen the implications of believing that salvation is refraining from sin, trying to do your best to not sin. We've seen the implication, number one, we saw how you run the risk of being a false convert. That is, if this is the first encounter you have with the gospel and it's presented to you this way, you will not be saved. Number two, second implication is that you run the risk of being unstable all your life and never developing assurance of salvation. Perhaps you were saved by the true gospel, and then you are now exposed to this false gospel as your diet for spiritual growth. You will never experience assurance of salvation till you breathe your last. Hallelujah. Number three, because there's no assurance of salvation and there's no stability, you will never grow up spiritually. Glory be to God. You will never grow up spiritually. We're going to come to another implication of this, perhaps in the next episode. But right now, let me quickly say again, let me quickly show you one more thing that salvation is not. Salvation is not serving God faithfully. Glory to Jesus. Salvation is not serving God faithfully. Many Christians have been taught or they have been made to believe that their Christian service is the guarantee of salvation. Now, salvation is not us serving God. On the contrary, salvation is Christ serving us. In salvation, we see God's service to humanity. Salvation is not our service to God. It is not guaranteed by our service to God. It is not achieved or attained by our service to God. It is not maintained or sustained by our service to God. Rather, in salvation, we see God's service to humanity. We see Christ serving the will of God for us all in salvation. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 to 28. Bible says, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Have you seen? To give his life a ransom for many. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So, Jesus served us in salvation. So, salvation is Jesus' service to us. It is not a result of our service. We don't serve God to be saved. Jesus served us to save us. Hallelujah. So, salvation is Christ's service to us, not our service to God. So we are not guaranteed of salvation because we are serving God. We are not required to serve God to be saved. Salvation is God's service to us in Christ. Hallelujah. In fact, look at Acts 10. There are lots of people who are striving to serve God. Glory to Jesus. They are striving to serve God. Striving to serve God so they can be saved. But the Bible, she says the opposite. We don't serve God to be saved. We serve God because we are saved. Hallelujah. And Acts 10, Bible says, from verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people. and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Glory to Jesus. Seeing this story over and over and over and over again, the story of Cornelius. When Bible says he prayed to God always, he was a devout man, he feared God with all of his, you know, with all of his household and all that. This was according to the religion of the Jews in those days, Judaism. Because people who were Gentiles could be converted to Judaism, and then they refer to them as proselytes. So in those days, men were considered to be serving God in that religion. However, the man Cornelius was not saved because of any of these. He wasn't saved because he was giving alms. He wasn't saved because he feared God. He wasn't saved because he was a devout man. Hallelujah. He wasn't saved because he was always praying. Because salvation is not based on our service. Salvation is based on what Jesus did. Glory to God. This is why, despite all that he was doing, the instruction was sent for Peter, and he will tell you what you must do. Because there's something every man must do to be saved. Hallelujah. There's something every man must do to be saved. What is that one thing every man must do to be saved? Peter told him, Acts 10 for the tree. To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whosoever believes, hallelujah, would always come back to believing. Because this is all that is essential for a man to be saved. Believing. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about believing, folks. Hallelujah. So salvation is not a reward for the things we do. Salvation is not a reward for service. Salvation is not a reward for our faithfulness. Salvation is God's faithfulness to his promise in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Bible says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son Jesus Christ. So our salvation is a result of God's faithfulness, not our faithfulness. God does not require your faithfulness to save you. God does not require your faithfulness to keep you saved. It is the faithfulness of God that keeps us from start to finish. Glory to Jesus. It is the faithfulness of God that saves us, and it is the faithfulness of God that makes us remain saved. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't save you to leave you to finish the rest. Hallelujah. He started the work, he's going to finish it. He saved us now, he will save us when he comes again. Hallelujah. He saved us now, he will save us bodily when he returns. He saved us now, he has saved us now, he will redeem us bodily when we return. There's such a thing as the redemption of our body. The Bible says we anticipate in Romans chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're anticipating the redemption of our bodies. Philippians chapter 3, Bible speaks of how our lowly bodies will be transformed into his glorious body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, Jesus is going to complete what he has started. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, he will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So salvation is not a reward of our faithfulness. It is not a reward of our service. Salvation is a reward of Jesus' service. Hallelujah. God saves us today because of what Jesus did. It's a reward. It's a fruit of his service. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, I'll read from verse 1. Look at this carefully. Bible says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. Have you seen Jesus' service to us? Jesus' service on our behalf. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was stricken. Hallelujah. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, all that Jesus bought, everything described there is salvation. wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace. That peace is our salvation. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. So Jesus served the will of God for us. He bore the punishment. He bore our grief. So salvation came to us as a result of what he has done. So it is not a result of our faithfulness. It is a result of Jesus' faithfulness. It is not a reward of our works or our service. It is a reward of Jesus' service. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It's a reward of Jesus' service. His death and resurrection is service to humanity. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yet he has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Have you seen? That is Jesus' reward. The pleasure of the Lord prospering in his hand because of his sacrifice. Bible says in verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. So salvation is the labor of his soul. Salvation is Jesus' reward. Salvation is Jesus' reward. It's his own fulfillment for what he did. So it is not a reward of our service. It's a reward of Jesus' service. The reward of Jesus' service is salvation. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible calls the labor of his soul. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So, salvation is a reward of Jesus' labor. Hallelujah. You know, when you read through the Gospels, one of the things Jesus said while he was heading to the cross, by way of parable to his disciples, you find that at John chapter 16, from verse 20, you know, Jesus was speaking of how a woman in pain and sorrow, a woman who is pregnant, in pain and sorrow, and then by the time she gives birth, she is filled with joy. John 16:20. I says, most assuredly I say to you that you weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Verse 21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. Verse 22, Bible says, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the woman, when the woman gives birth, she has joy, she's comforted because that child is a reward of her labor. Amen. So Jesus going to the cross is his labor. You can't be taking credit for your mother's labor over you. You can't say, if not that I labor. You can't, I mean, what labor? You were carried for 9 months and then eventually your mother was the one that went through the pain, went through the pushing and all that. Pregnant women, people who have been pregnant in time past and people who are presently pregnant can even relate to this. If you have ever been to the labor room, you can relate well. So imagine your child now saying, man, give me some kudos. What are you saying? You can't be taking credit for being born. Because the work was done by your parents. Hallelujah. So we can't be taking credit for what Jesus did. We can't be seeing salvation as a reward of our effort or our service. Salvation is the reward of Jesus' labor. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus served the will of God for you and I. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1 to 10. Hebrews 10, glory to Jesus. Jesus served the will of God for you and I. Hebrews 10, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came to the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So Jesus came into the world to serve the will of the Father, to do that which the law could not do. It's impossible for the law, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So Jesus came with a body prepared for him. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Verse 8, previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. It takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. So you see that Jesus is coming in the flesh, coming with a body prepared for him, in order that he might do the will of the Father, is his service to us. Hallelujah. Because by this will, by the will that he did, we have been sanctified once and for all. Glory to Jesus. So salvation is the reward of Jesus' service, not the reward of our service. It's the reward of Jesus' service, not the reward of our service. It's the reward and the fruit of his labor, not the reward and the fruit of our labor. It's a demonstration of God's faithfulness, not the reward of our faithfulness. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. The Bible says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when the Bible says we should run the race that is set before us, it is not the same race that Jesus ran. Jesus ran the race of our salvation. We are running the race to fulfill our ministry. Glory to Jesus. So the Bible says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. So his own endurance brought salvation to us. The joy that was set before him is the salvation of our souls. So the Bible refers to him as the author and finisher of faith. So, salvation is a result of Jesus' race. He ran the race fully, successfully. He finished the work. That's why John 17, look at this now. John chapter 17. So, we are not called to run the race of salvation. We are called to run the race of fulfilling our ministry. Jesus' race was the race to fulfill the plan of God concerning salvation. Look at John 17. Glory be to God. John 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. So there was a particular work that Jesus was given to do, and this work, no one else is given this kind of work to do. No one else is given this kind of work. No one else went to the cross. Hallelujah. No one else died for the sins of the world. Jesus alone is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So the work that Jesus did, the race he ran, is a peculiar one. Glory to Jesus. So we are not called to run the same race of trying to be saved. Jesus ran that race. Thank God he finished the work. Glory be to God. So salvation is a reward of what he did. It's a reward of his service, not a reward of our service to God. Hallelujah. So what then is the place of our own service? Well, our service to God would also get us rewarded, not salvation. When you serve God faithfully, you'll be rewarded for faithful service. You won't be saved because you served God, but you'll be rewarded for your faithful service in the ministry, in the body of Christ. For everything you do in the body of Christ and for the body, there's a reward. But that reward is not salvation. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10 to 15, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. We are rewarded for the things we do. We are not saved because of the things we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and from verse 10. Look at this now. Bible says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation has been laid. Hallelujah. So our building does not lay the foundation. The foundation is already laid. Our salvation is already secure. Look at verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Have you seen? If anyone's work is burned, that is, the all that you did for Jesus, your service is burned up. Now imagine if your service is what secures your salvation, that means your salvation is burnt the same way. That means your salvation goes with your works. But he says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, that is loss of reward, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So salvation is not based on what we do. Rewards come because of our services. If you don't serve as you ought to serve, you lose your rewards. But salvation is guaranteed because salvation is a reward of what Jesus did. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 18 to 27. Hallelujah. Now I want to encourage you to serve Jesus. I want to encourage you to strive to be faithful as a steward of God. Now I know the truth that Jesus's salvation does not expire. I know the truth that the offer of Christ's salvation to me is everlasting. Yet I'm striving day and night to serve God faithfully. I'm striving day and night to abound in every good work. I'm striving day and night, you know, to be found pleasing to God in my works. That's because this message does not promote licentiousness. In fact, if you claim to have known the message of Christ, to have heard the grace of God, and you are now becoming licentious, you are unserious. You have not heard it. Hallelujah. When you hear it, it spurs you up to service. It makes you rejoice. And that joy translates into active service for Jesus. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, I'll read from verse 18. Look at this. So our service gets rewarded. Our services do not bring salvation. The Bible says, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win them all. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I may win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Disqualified from what? From the prize. From the crown. Because he was talking about receiving a crown. This is not being disqualified from salvation. This is being disqualified from the reward of doing ministry faithfully. Hallelujah. Because from verse 24, he speaks of running to receive a prize. He says to run in such a way that you may obtain it. This is not salvation. The prize, the reward, the crown, the joy, the reward of doing ministry. So if I discipline my body and put it in subjection, I'll be able to receive the reward. If I do not discipline my body and put it in subjection, if I don't tame my appetites, my desires, my carnal desires that may be fighting and warring against, you know, the principle of doing ministry faithfully, if I don't put it under, I will lose my reward. But if I check it and I put it under, then I get the reward for faithful service. But this is not salvation. Hallelujah. It's a reward of faithful service. Glory be to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. Bible says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Have you seen? So, we are going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things we have done in the body. Glory to Jesus. That's not salvation, that's reward for our faithfulness, for our service to Christ Jesus, or a loss of reward as the case may be. Glory to Jesus. So clear from scriptures, salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by service to God. Salvation is not based on our service to God, based on faithfulness in our service to God. It is based on the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Look at this carefully. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which he once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So salvation is referred to as being made alive. So there's no amount of service or works that would make you alive to God, that will make a sinner alive to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Glory to Jesus. Or verse 4. Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So you see that salvation is what it describes as being made alive to God. Being made alive together with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Have you seen? So salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. See, it can't get any clearer than this. It is so clear. The NLT version says, salvation is not based on the good things we have done. It's not a reward of the good things we have done. It is not a reward of the good things we have done. Very clear. Hallelujah. Now, some will say, well, to be initially saved, you don't need to do anything. But to remain saved, you need to do some salvation, whether it is initial or, you know, the ultimate salvation, the redemption of our bodies. Salvation at all does not require your input. Does not require your works. It's by grace from start to finish. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So it is not based on what we do or what we can do. It is not based on our faithfulness to God. It is not based on our service to God. It is based on Jesus's finished work. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We'll see some more scriptures in the next episode tomorrow. So do good to tune in tomorrow. Don't miss the episode. Do good to tune in. Invite somebody, your friends, your relatives, colleagues, family members, classmates. Let's come together to learn the word of God again. And don't forget to have a great time, great day, being full of the Holy Ghost, full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs. Be a blessing to somebody by sharing the gospel with someone today. See you in the next episode.